Well, how about we pray? Father in heaven, thank you. Lord, we not only have revealed in your word what you did for us at Calvary, and Lord, you have also revealed to us many of your plans in the future for us as well. This gives us hope. Lord, gives us a reason to live a life that's pleasing to you. Gives us a purpose for living, and Lord, something to look forward to. And Lord, we ask that as we stop and consider the things that are to come that your word has revealed to us, that it would be used to encourage us and warn us and change the way that we live our everyday life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, when we were looking at the topic of things to come, we looked at the rapture. How there will be a time when Jesus comes in the air. He doesn't actually come to the very earth, but he meets us in the air. And he calls those believers in Christ who have already died out of the grave. And he changes their body. And then those who are left and are alive at that time, we will be caught up as well, and there we will be with the Lord in the air. And we also looked at how this, I believe, will take place prior to that great time of tribulation that is to come upon the earth. The key verse for this is 1 Thessalonians 5:9, where it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we don't have to suffer this terrible time that is to come upon the earth. But what we do see is the next thing in the prophetic timetable laid out in God's word is this great tribulation period that's upon the earth. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. Now, as we look at this, it's made quite clear that there's going to be a great and terrible time when God unleashes his wrath upon man due to their sin. And it is a wonderful blessing to know that as believers, the church, the bride of Christ, that's all saying the same thing in a different way, we are not appointed to this. That's good news. That's something to make sure that you are truly saved, so that you don't have to go through this time. And what I would like to do today is look at scripture that speaks about this tribulation, so we know it is a Bible theme, and also why we believe it's a seven-year period. Now, the first thing I would like to do is find my bipper. Did I leave it down there, Josh? And just go through a basic idea of what I believe is going to take place. We are in the church age at the moment. And during that, there will be all different things that happen in this time, this last 2,000 years, which is really a part of the end times. Ever since Pentecost, we've been in the end times. But in this time, there are going to be wars, false Christs, persecution, iniquity, all these things will be happening, as we know has happened. Then there is going to be the rapture of the church, and the church is removed from the world. That then ushers in 7 years of great tribulation. And this will be characterized by great judgment from God. There will be plagues, destruction, death, and lots of other terrible things. After that, at the end of the 7 years, there is the second coming of Christ to the earth. The first time he came to earth was when he died on the cross for us. Second time is at the end of the tribulation. And here he will destroy the enemies of Israel who have been gathered around and battling against them at that time. At the end of the 7 years, he will then gather all Israel from all parts of the world and bring them back home, so to speak, and then he will reign over them for 1,000 years. And so that's the general concept that I believe we see in God's Word. And one of the best passages where we see this is found in Matthew chapter 24, and I'd like you to turn there. And this is Jesus speaking. And there's no doubt there is some blending of does one part start or finish and another part start. But I do believe there is a basic outline here that shows us what is up there on the screen. If we look at Matthew chapter 24, read there in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so the disciples ask about the end of the world, these end times. Not just a very one moment, split second, but this concept of the end times. And what we see here is Jesus goes on to explain the sequence of events. And he explains how there are going to be terrible times at different periods of times of world. And he first of all talks about how there is going to be persecution, there are going to be wars, false Christs, great iniquity. And this, I believe, is talking about the church age, this end of time that's been going on. Let's read this, and you think about the past 2,000 years, and I believe you'll see that all these things have come to pass already and is still coming to pass. Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And that's happened. And still is happening. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We know that's been happening for centuries. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And we know that the apostles, those he was speaking to, were killed for his sake. And we know that believers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ since that time have been persecuted and killed for Christ's sake as well. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." So iniquity will be great upon the earth. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, I believe this can characterize some of the things in the 7 years of tribulation. But I believe this is predominantly explaining the church age. When you consider what's happened in the church age, all of these things have come to pass. And then Jesus continues to explain that how during this time, the gospel will go out into all the world. Verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And so the gospel has to go out and be preached to all nations. And maybe that's already happened. And now the next thing is the rapture, that end time really begins. Or maybe it's still to happen. There's still some things that God is waiting for. But when that has happened, that's when the end begins. And that's when I believe the rapture takes place. The rapture of the earth, of the church. Now, after this, Jesus then talks about the Antichrist and how he will make himself God and defile the temple of God in Jerusalem. Now, we know that's not built yet. So there has to come a time where that gets built, maybe as it ushers in the tribulation time, gets built very quickly, and then this takes place. But at this time, the Antichrist will do great blasphemous things. Now, this takes place, we know in other scriptures, halfway through the tribulation. But it says there in verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." When you see the Antichrist stand in the holy place, "whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." And so Jesus says, when the prophecy of Daniel is fulfilled, when the prophecy of Daniel is fulfilled, when the Antichrist stands in that temple place in Jerusalem and decimates it and makes himself out to be God, he says, that's when you know you're in the thick of it. That's when you know you're in the thick of the tribulation. And because he says terrible things are going to be happening. And he says, when you see that, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, notice, such as were not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And so, Jesus says there's going to be a great time of tribulation, greater than has ever been before or will be after as well. And Jesus says that after this time of tribulation, then he will appear. He goes on to say in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And so at the end of the tribulation, Jesus says, straight after that, that's when you're going to see me come in all my glory. And then he says this in verse 31, "And he shall send the angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And I would read that as him gathering the Israelites, those who are his elect, who have believed on him, to come and enjoy that kingdom at that time when he reigns over them. And so maybe I'm wrong, but that what I just read there sounds very similar to what we have up there on the board. Church age, there's wars, false prophets, persecutions, then the rapture takes place, and then a 7-year period, great judgment. In the middle of that great judgment, the Antichrist commits blasphemous things in the temple and makes himself out to be God. And then there is even more severe judgment upon the earth. And then at the end of that 7 years, or at the end of the tribulation, there is the coming of Christ, and he destroys the enemies, gathers Israel together, and reigns over them. So to me it seems pretty simple. So the big question is, has that tribulation time already come and gone? Some, an amillennialist would say, well, that's just different things, but it's figurative, but it's not going to happen, or it has already happened. But has it happened? Or is this something of a future event? Well, as a premillennialist, I believe that this is a future event. You know, when you look at the book of Revelation and it tells us how great and scary this time will be, you're not going to miss it. It's not something where you go, oh yeah, I think it did happen. You remember a couple of hundred years ago, that big earthquake? Oh, yeah, it's gone. It's happened already. No, you can't miss this. And what we see in the book of Revelation is really a very similar timeline to what I have up there. And so if you're a little bit sleepy, you're not going to understand anything today. But if you're switched on, you might follow me. Okay? So turn to Revelation chapter 1. Showing you that this sequence of events happens in different passages of Scripture. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, the angel appears to John and says this, write the things which thou hast seen. And so what we have here is a progression of what he had to write. First of all, he had to write about the vision he saw of Jesus, how he saw Jesus bright and shiny and feet like brass and so on. And he does that. That's recorded for us. And then he says, and the things which are. Write about the things that are happening now. And as we get into chapters 2 and 3, what he does is he talks about seven churches and the condition of those churches and what God or Jesus thought about those churches. But the wonderful thing is you can see how this is a picture of the church age and how it will go through various dimensions of persecution and wealth and love and so on. It talks about the church age. And then he says, and the things which shall be hereafter. He talks about future events that haven't as yet come to pass. And what we see here is John talks about the church age, and that's found in chapters 2 and 3. And then after the church age, so to speak, in chapter 4, we read this. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Remember the trumpet of the Lord talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And here I believe we have a wonderful picture of the rapture taking place after the church age. We have the church age, and then John is called up into heaven. And then after that, the great tribulation, the terrible time begins. And in chapter 6, we see the judgment of God start to come upon the earth that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24. And if you're wondering how bad it will be, what I've done is I've just jotted down some things that will happen at that time. We're told in chapter 6 that peace is taken from the earth so that they will kill one another. So there's going to be wars. There will be famines. A quarter of the earth will be killed with the sword and the beasts. And so there's a lot of bloodshed. There will be a great earthquake. The sun will become black. The moon will be as blood. Stars from heaven will fall to the earth. I suspect they are meteors coming to the earth. That's chapter 6. Chapter 8, we're told, hailstones of fire mingled with blood will be cast upon the earth. A bit like in the days of Egypt. A third of the sea will become blood. A third of the creatures in the sea will die, and a third of the ships will be destroyed. I think they go hand in hand. The third of the sea becoming blood and the death in those areas. A third of the rivers and the fountains will become bitter, and men will die from drinking from these rivers. A third of the sun, moon and stars will be smitten, and darkness will come upon the earth. Chapter 9, locusts from the pit of hell will sting mankind for 5 months. The sting will be like a scorpion. It won't kill men. It will torment them and they'll wish they were dead. 4 angels will be loosed from the river of Euphrates and slay a third part of mankind. And so these are terrible things. I don't think you would miss that, all right? That's something that everyone will know is happening. But I want you to notice something. Remember when Jesus was talking about the church age, and then I believe the gospel went out, and then I said the tribulation has started, and then he said, but wait for when you see the prophecy of Daniel fulfilled. That's when you know things are going to be really bad. Well, if you go through the sequence of these chapters, once we get to chapter 13, we read this. And this is another way of talking about the prophecy of Daniel and the Antichrist. It says in verse 4 of chapter 13, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. That is the last half of the 7 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So anything about God. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So he ruled the world, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. So this is talking about the Antichrist and how he breaks his treaty really with Israel, and he stops the sacrifices being made that appeased the Jews through this time, and then he turned on the Jews and he blasphemed the God of heaven and he made himself to be God. That's what Daniel speaks about, as we'll see. This is what Jesus said we need to be watching out for. Now remember how some people are mid-tribulationists, and they say that the rapture takes place halfway through the rapture, the 7 years, because prior to halfway through, it's just peace and tranquility, and then the tribulation starts. Well, we've already seen in chapters 6, 8, and 9, terrible things have already been happening before this blasphemous time with the Antichrist. But we see that things haven't finished yet. In chapter 16, we read how the worst is yet to come. This is when it really gets bad. And the sea becomes as blood of a dead man. It congeals. It's thickened. And every living soul in the sea will die. Now that's bad. You don't want to be on the sea. Rivers and fountains become blood. The sun has power to scorch man with fire and heat. That's when you're going to get all these global warming people very excited. I told you so! Right? But it's not because of carbon emissions. It's because of man's sin and God's judgment. All right? That's when they're going to know about heat. And many will gnaw on their tongues due to their great pain. And there's other things that take place as well. And so when Jesus said this, for then shall be great tribulation, such as what not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. He really meant what he was saying. This is going to be a terrible time and great destruction. And praise God that if you're a believer, you're not appointed to this wrath. Now, Matthew 24, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. That was the sequence in Matthew 24. Or what is the sequence in the book of Revelation? We've seen there are great persecutions, that blasphemy of the Antichrist, and then we see even greater tribulation. And then what happens then? Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jesus comes again at the end of that tribulation time. He destroys the enemies of Israel, and if we were to read on in the different chapters, he gathers his people together. In chapter 20, Jesus sets up his throne and he reigns over them. And so can you see how I believe it's very clear just from these two examples that the scriptures are speaking about a coming judgment that hasn't happened yet. It's coming and it's going to be terrible. And we haven't even looked at the Old Testament, which is scary. Let's have a look at one Old Testament. I'll just go to Jeremiah. It says, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. That's a very good description of what happens in that great time of tribulation, just destruction from one end of the earth to the other. They're not going to be buried, they're just lying there as the dung of the earth. Such is the destruction. And so, I do believe it's clear there's going to be a coming judgment upon this earth. Now, in 7 minutes, I'm going to tell you why we believe it's only going to be for 7 years. And, you know, I know you're laughing, but it's true. I've heard this explained lots of times. Most times, I'm totally confused. And so, I'm in good company if I totally confuse you. All right? But I will try to explain why we believe it's 7 years without confusing you. This will be my attempt. And it predominantly rests around this passage, this verse, where it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. This is what an angel said to Daniel about the future events of Israel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's talking about anointing Jesus. So let's go through that one by one. It says 70 weeks are determined for the history of Israel until Jesus is anointed. The word weeks in Hebrew means sevens. So we automatically, when we say, we think a week is 7 days. All right, that's how we think. But it's 70 times sevens are determined. That's how you need to read it. So this could mean 70 times 7 day periods, or 70 times 7 year periods. Right? And in the context of everything else that is here, we read it as 70 times 7 year periods. So if you go 70 times 7 years, that is 490 years of history until some wonderful things are going to take place, that verse says. Let's just have a look at what the wonderful things will take place after 490 years. It'll finish the transgression of Israel. They'll be made righteous. and make an end of sins, and they'll be reconciled, and they will be brought in everlasting righteousness, and the seal up the vision of prophecy. The prophecies have been completed, and to anoint the Most Holy. This is talking about what we call the millennium, when Israel is saved, Jesus is reigning over them, he's anointed as king, and righteousness reigns. 490 years have to take place until this happens, the angel said to Daniel. 490 years of Israel's history, and then these things will come to pass. And I've just already said that, so we can... Now, in verse 25, following verse, the angel tells Daniel when these days will start. Because when the angel came and said, this is what's going to happen, it doesn't start, these 490 years don't start from then. He says, this is when you start counting. And he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. So that's only 69 weeks. And so, when the commandment to go and, as it says there, to restore and to build Jerusalem. And there's some debate, is that Nehemiah or is that Ezra? And we'll let I didn't think about that. It's not the first one, it's the second lot that goes back. That's Ezra, isn't it? Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Once Nehemiah is sent back, sorry. So I apologize for not working that out. But it says, once that happens, when Nehemiah is sent out, in 483 years later, after that, the Messiah will come. Oh, so the Messiah is going to come and set up his kingdom? No, something else is going to happen first. It says the Messiah will be cut off. What? So 483 years after that commandment is given, Messiah will come and be cut off. And we know Jesus was cut off at his first coming. He was killed, but not for himself. He didn't die for himself, he died for others. And it says, and the people of the prince, that is, who killed him, that's the Romans, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That is the Romans. And so that came to pass. So after 483 years, and there's a lot of people with calculations of that happening, and working it out with the Jewish calendar. And so, from the going forth of that commandment with Nehemiah to 483 years was the first coming of the Messiah. And we know that's exactly what happened. He came, he was cut off and killed. And he was killed for us, and the Romans did it. And the Romans, yes, they destroyed the city and the sanctuary. Jerusalem was obliterated at that time. So, we see here that there's still one more 7-year period of Israel's history to go. And Daniel tells us what's going to happen in that 7-year period. If we have a look at Daniel in verse 27, he says, and he shall confirm, this is talking about the Antichrist, not Jesus, the covenant with many for 1 week. That 7-year period. This is the Antichrist. And in the midst of the week, halfway through the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. And so halfway through the 7-year period, the Antichrist will stop the sacrifices and confirm that he is God instead. Just as what we were talking about. This is what Jesus said we need to be watching out for. Daniel says a similar thing in chapter 12. He says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,000 290 days. That's 3.5 years. And so after 3.5 years, this terrible thing is going to happen. And so, remember what Jesus said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judah flee unto the mountains." And so the 70th week, or the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy, hasn't yet been fulfilled. And so they've got up to 69, that's when Jesus came. And this is what we see here. In the 69th, Jesus came, he was cut off because they rejected him. And so there's a 70th week still to come, another 7 year period. Now, when Daniel was seeing and hearing this, he just saw 69, 70. But what he didn't see was the church age in between. And that's where the Lord opened up salvation to the Gentiles, which is us. And that's why it talks about the church as being a mystery. The prophets never saw it. That's why they thought Jesus is going to come, set up his kingdom and all these things. But they hadn't read Daniel's prophecy properly, not even the disciples. They would have been reading and say, "Hey, Daniel says, Jesus, that you're going to come, and then you're going to be cut off. You're going to be killed. And you're not going to do it for yourself. You're going to do it for others. Oh, look, and the Romans who kill you, they're going to destroy this place." If they had read Daniel properly, that's what they would have got. And then they would have said, "But what about the 70th? What has to happen then?" And maybe Jesus might have explained it to them. But that's why we believe there's 7 years of tribulation, because we're waiting for that last week of sevens to be filled in Daniel's prophecy. So, I either told you something new, or I confirmed something you already knew, or I gave you a good little sleep, one of the three. And so I trust that helps. Question is, what happens after that for us? And that's what we're going to look at next week. While everyone's going through the tribulation, well, what happens with us? That's probably better news in many ways. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that, Lord, these things seem very distant and hard to imagine. Yet, Lord, if Jesus is real, as we believe and are sure he is, and if the things that he has prophesied and said will come to pass have, as he said, the destruction of that temple and not one stone being on another, all these things that Jesus said have come to pass, so we can be sure this will come to pass as well. And Lord, it shouldn't be to overtake us with some fearful mystery, but Lord, understand that these things were told many, many years before. Help us to be ready. Help us to see others who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior as those who have to go through this unless they receive that free gift of salvation. And Lord, if there is any here that, Lord, do not know you as their Savior, I pray that these things would, Lord, convince them to find salvation and peace with you so they don't have to suffer your wrath. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.